you have been saved. Now, when I say there's a change in your life, this is an ongoing thing. It don't mean that once you come to the Lord, all of a sudden everything gonna change in your life. But the one thing that held you back, that's gonna be taken away. And as you go through sanctification in this world, which is an ongoing process, the Lord will be constantly, you'll be taking off some stuff and putting on some more of the Lord. Every now and then, sin causes you to slide off the altar. But as soon as you confess your sin, the Lord pick you up and set you back apart to himself again. That's sanctification, the ongoing process. And nobody, don't be fooled to think that once you become saved, there's no more trouble. You don't have to worry about anything. No. Once you give your life to Christ, oh, Lord, that's when the problem comes. But thank God for the one that's in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Yes, Lord. I'm finna treat you again. Thank y'all. At this time, we extend.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome word of God next week at the same time.
It's gonna be alright.
This is KAYT Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Join us as we open our Bibles, hearts, and minds to be blessed by the Word of God as Dr. Joshua Joy Dara, Senior Pastor of Zion Hill Church Family, gives us insight into the gospel in plain English.
In the vibrant community of Pineville, Louisiana, under the compassionate leadership of Pastor Joshua Jodera, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's ZionHill.com. Now, let's join the broadcast, already in progress.
Open your Bible to the book of Psalms, chapter 37. Verse number 23, the book of Psalms, chapter 37, verse 23. We've been teaching a series titled The Steps of a Good Man. And we just want to share with you again some of those steps. The Word of God says the steps of a good man are what? Ordered by the Lord. And God also delights in his way. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Holy Spirit, we are grateful for this special day. Thank you for all the fathers in this church. Thank you for all the fathers in our community, in our parish, in our state, in our nation. Lord, we thank you for all the fathers in the world. Thank you for keeping them. Thank you for sustaining them. Lord, we thank you for making a way out of no way. Lord, I pray that you will use me to share something that will help everybody under the sound of my voice. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And the church say, amen. Amen. Just for a few minutes, I want to share some of the things that God ordered for fathers, for men of this world. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So our subject for discussion is titled, The Steps of a Good Man. Part 2. And because what we are going to share with you is ordered by the Lord, I will strongly recommend for every father in the house on this special day that we celebrate you, that you further to follow what God ordered. Some of us, we have had to go to the doctor. And it's not uncommon for the doctor to order some prescriptions. But if you really want to be made whole, you have to follow that order. That's where true healing takes place. God is bigger than any doctor on earth. And God has ordered some things for men, for fathers. And this is not just for men alone. Those of you who are sisters, some of you, you are wives, some of you, you are parents, some of you, you are dating, some of you, you believe in God. Pay attention to these things. This is the kind of man you need in your life. So when you're looking, all you need to do is do a check mark. So this message is not just to help the man, but to help every woman. And if you're already married, you say, Pastor, you're too late. I'm already married. Then it also gives you an opportunity to evaluate what kind of man you're calling husband. There are five things the Lord commands me to share with you. And I happen to be a university professor. So if somebody makes 5 out of 5, that's someone who make A. If your husband or your boyfriend or your man made 4 out of 5, that's a B. If homeboy only make 3 out of 5, that's a C. Now if you only make 2 out of 5, that's a D. If you make 1 out of 5, that's an F. You might seriously consider looking for another man. If he made nothing out of 5, you have your pastor's permission to leave him alone. Amen. So this message is for all of us. By way of introduction, there are basic things that God ordered for every father. Number 1, a good father would love God. Amen. Tell somebody I got it. It is so important because you can give your children material things. That comes, that goes. You buy them a car, that car can be lost. That car can be damaged. That car can be repossessed. But if you give them faith in God, no devil can steal that from them. So you have to love God. In fact, in the Bible, throughout the Bible, what you will hear people talk about is faith of our fathers. But what if that father had no faith? Houston, we got problems. So, brothers, be sure and be very sure that you know God for yourself. Amen, somebody. Another thing, I'm just introducing, I haven't got to my list. Another thing that every father ought to do is to love the mothers of your children. You'll be amazed, ladies and gentlemen, how much children are looking to see whether daddy cares for their mama. It is very, very important. Ask yourself the question, when was the last time your children see your mama hug? Simple things. When was the last time the children see you and mama kiss each other? You see, emotional stability is important for every children. If they don't see you do it, where are they going to learn it from? Not only do you need to love God, you need to love the mothers of your children. Say, I got it. Likewise, you need to genuinely love your children. Amen. Amen. And God modeled that for us. We are his children. He loves us. Am I right about it? Another thing that you have to do as a father is to teach your children. Over and over again in the Word of God, the Bible says, this is God ordering our steps now. He says, teach this to your children. There's a reason why God wants you to teach your children. But if you don't know yourself, what you going to teach? That will be a blind leading the blind. Believe it or not, another thing that God ordered for fathers to do is to train their children. Isn't that something? A lot of children are messed up today, even in the adult age, because daddy failed to train his children. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I happen to be an officer of the court, and I can tell you so many people are locked up in jail today because there is no father figure in their life. So you have to teach your children. You have to train your children. The Bible was talking about Abraham one time. He said, I love this man because he will command his children. So there's a difference between teaching somebody and training somebody and commanding somebody. This is one thing I really thank God for, all of our mothers. If those precious women did not pick up the slack, this world will really be messed up. Because a lot of men missed the mark. They did not follow the order of Almighty God. Are you still here? Thank God for mothers. Amen. And grandmothers and aunties and sisters. Because where we drop the ball, you are there to pick up the ball. That's very, very important. Brothers, fathers, what are the things that you need to know? Ladies and gentlemen, the first thing you have to be is to be a leader. What did I call it?
Leader.
Believe it or not, the Bible says in the first book of Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 4, he said the head of a man is what? Christ. Then he goes on to say the head of a woman is what? Man. That's a call for leadership. You are ordered to lead. He goes on to say, the head of Christ is God. So God set up hierarchies. The reason why many of our sisters have to pick up the slack is because you won't lead. Now, for those of you who wants to know whether your husband or your boyfriend is a leader, there are some things you have to look for. But first, you need to know being a leader, ladies and gentlemen, does not mean that you control people. Being a leader does not mean that you dominate people. Being a leader does not mean you are abusive of people. Being a leader does not mean you bully people under your care. A true leader is really a servant. Did you know one day Jesus was asked, what does it take to be a leader? And the Bible said he took a towel, wrapped himself at the waist, and scooped down and began to wash the feet of everybody. Am I still in the book? So Jesus exemplified what we will call servant leadership. So don't get it twisted. There are some people who don't want to be led.
Amen.
Well, that's why you don't find a man. Don't look at your neighbor. And there are some of you who wants to lead, but you become a tyrant. That's not leadership. Being a leader means four things. So you're going to evaluate your husband today. Say, I'm sure my wife is making notes too. And you evaluate your dad. A leader is proactive. What did I say?
Proactive.
What does that mean? That means a leader initiates. Just look at your pastor. I've been here 28 years. You'll be amazed how many things I've initiated. That's what leaders do. You all call it a vision, not leadership. You as the head of your house, your head, your mind ought to be cooking 24/7. Amen, somebody. To tell you how simple this call is, you know, let's suppose now I just met Pastor Shirley and I want to take Pastor Shirley out on a date. Well, guess who's going to initiate that? Me. That's what you're made to do, brothers. You go to Shirley. Sister girl, what's your name? Then you ask her, can I have your number? Guess who is initiating that? The man. You are made to be proactive. You are made to initiate. Many of you, you say, I can find no woman to go out with because you don't initiate nothing. Mm-hmm. Too many men are too passive. You are created to be proactive. Amen. Men must be proactive. You step out, you initiate, you ask. Some of you will say, but Pastor, what if I ask her and she rejected me? So? Try again. I hate to be teaching people how to date. Try again and again and again. Amen, somebody. Another thing is that a good leader will pursue God. What do I mean? If you find any leader, they are true follower. You cannot be a leader unless you're a good follower. Amen. You have to be a follower of the Holy Spirit. So evaluate your husband. You have my permission. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot lead your children if you yourself, you are not led by God. So pursue God. Another thing that will make you a leader is you are the pastor of your house. Ain't that something? Guess what pastors do? They lead. Any good pastor. Our job is, it can be reduced to only three words. You feed the sheep, you lead the sheep, and you watch over their soul. That's it. That's all I do. I know people would like to define pastors some other way. I just ignore them. Stick to what God ordered. Feed my sheep. Watch for their soul. Profile leadership. He said, take charge of the church with the Holy Ghost has made you overseer. You as a father, you are the pastor of your house. Anything go wrong in that house, you are responsible. I'm trying to help somebody. See, I got it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're too busy asking the kids to lead themselves. Little Riri, do you want to go to church today? Daddy, I don't feel like going to church. Okay, you can just stay home. I'll be back. Leaders don't do that. Amen. True leaders. That's why the Bible says, you train up the children the way they should go. When they grow up, they will not depart from it. Bring your faith to the family. Amen. Amen. To be a good leader also, you have to be a protector of your house.
Amen.
Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Think about it. Why do you think God gives you more muscles than most women? Just for you to look pretty? Why do you think God gives you big bones? So you can play football? Come on, folks. God made you to protect your family. So any devil that is trying to mess with your wife or mess with your children will have to deal with you first.
Amen.
Amen. So use what you got. Amen.
Amen.
Another thing that will make you a good leader is to be a provider.
Amen.
Yes,
sir. In fact, the Bible says, if you don't take care of your family, you're worse than an infidel. Those are some strong words. Amen, somebody. That is why I say leadership is not bullying somebody. It's not abusing somebody. Jesus did not abuse his bride, the church. Jesus did not bully us. Amen, somebody. So there's no room for suppressing people and controlling people and oppressing people. That's not leadership. You would not see your pastor do that to your church. A true leader is a servant. You got it? That's what you need in your husband. That's what you need in your father. And if you're not seeing that right now, if that man you call father is not proactive, if that man you call father is not pursuing God, if that man you call father is not a provider, is not a protector, is not a priest in your house, he is not a leader.
Amen.
Can you handle the truth? Ladies and gentlemen, fathers, God will give you the grace to do your job. So the first role is for you to be a leader. The second role, I told you there are five, that's all I have. The second thing God expects you to do is to be a laborer. Those of you who are pastor, by the way, I'm working with the letter. L. That's a way you teach in school. It's a way you preach. Makes it easy. You are called to be a laborer. In the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 15, you will recall when God created heaven and earth, God created a garden and he put that man there. Guess what he told him to do? Dress it and keep it. That's how simple it is. In other words, maintain it. Amen.
Amen.
So when you find your man always sitting on the couch, playing video games, can you handle the truth? Then you can remind him, you say, my pastor said there are only five roles. You're about to lose one. That will affect your grade. Did you know, and sometimes I get funny, but did you know that God set up 6 days of work?
Amen.
and only one day of rest. Ask yourself, how many days is Brother Baba? Just sitting down, doing absolutely nothing. By the way, I might get trouble in saying this. You see, America, you all have 5 work days. That's not biblical. God has have how many work days? 6, not 5. He don't call me now. In fact, there's a move right now politically to reduce work days to only 4. Then you wonder sometimes why we run ourselves into trouble. There are some things that God has ordered. At the same time, don't work that you find no time to rest. God is our number one role model. The Bible says he works 6 days and he rests. Find time to rest. Amen. I say amen to that again. My brothers, my sisters, God didn't create you just to be having vacation all year. God created you and me, brothers, to work, to create like he created. Will you believe Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 17, he said, my Father works. Then he said, me too, I work. So why are you then sitting down? So you go home and tell Brother Baba, you need a job. I love you, but you got to get a job. Amen.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, men are made to work.
Amen.
That's why Apostle Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, he said, if any man does not provide for his household, he is worse than an infidel. I hate to tell you, one of the benefits of this church is that you have an educated pastor.
Amen.
So I researched how many people in America today wake up every day and not working. Then I zoom in on just the men. More than 9 million people. Just wake up and do absolutely nothing. Now, why am I saying this? Then you call yourself a Christian and then you want to be dating a man like that. And you got a job. And then you let him drive your car while you go to work. And then you come back home. Then you have to clean the house and cook the food and do all the work. Something ain't right. Tell the brother. Oh, Jesus. See, my pastor say, no. Something ain't right. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
You show me a man that will work, I'll show you a man that God will honor. Joseph, work. Because Joseph was working so much, when temptation came from Potiphar's wife, he was able to overcome it. On the flip side, David was just chilling. So when the temptation came, he was not able to overcome. Can you handle the truth? So if a man is not on disability, If our mind is not on crisis, every now and then we can, any of us can do, run into a crisis. If our mind is not sick, then you are not to be on welfare.
Amen.
Hey, don't turn me off.
Amen.
These are what we call mama's boy. You know what makes somebody a boy? Were you living in mama's house? And mama have to feed you and clothe you? You're a boy. You become a man when you can pay your own bills, take care of your children, take care of your wife. I ought to preach a sermon titled, "Are You a Man?" Or maybe I should say, "Are You a Real Man?" Will you believe there are some boys, brothers, that goes around expecting women to take care of them? That's troubling. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a pandemic. That's worse than COVID-19. And you know what is so sad? I need to hurry up. Even preachers are like that. You ever seen some preachers? They would tell me, I would say, what field, what area do you work? No, I don't work. What do you mean you don't work? Well, I'm called to preach. Duh. I'm a prophet. Really? The Lord called me into a ministry of intercession. I'm called to pastor. Can I be real with you? I wish I have time to preach this thing. Jesus Christ lived about how many years? 33 years. Now, in the Jewish culture, you don't start working until you're about 10. Right? It's different from America. So that means homeboy work from age 10 till age 30. 20 years of labor. And then he ministered for 3 years. So when you call me and you say you're called to pastor, the reason why you're calling for help all the time is because you need a job. J-O-B. Somebody needs to preach the truth. Amen. Paul works. You're right, Pastor. And he's still a preacher. Nothing stops you from preaching. Amen, somebody. The third thing, this may be the only time I have time. By the way, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 13, in all labor, there is profit. So working, God ordains, it's profitable. Some of you will say, Pastor, but you don't get it. There are jobs me advertise, but it doesn't match my qualification. It doesn't match my personality. When it comes to job, you ain't got no personality.
Amen.
You need money. Amen. And sometimes you may have to take a job that you're much more qualified for. But if you're faithful over little, God will make you rule over much. Amen. Ain't no shame in my game. When I came to this church, maybe I shouldn't say this on TV, my salary was only $500. I knew I'm more qualified than that. But if you have to flip burger to take care of your family, do it. I was a cheeseburger flipper. I'm coming to this area because my, because the police are on the other side. I was working 2205 Seminary Drive, Fort Worth, Texas, Jack in the Box. With a 3 professional degrees and flipping burger. There is no shame in work. Do what you have to do to take care of your family. And if you're faithful over little, oh, I'm telling you, God is faithful. He will get you a job on your field. Amen. Baby, can I do one more? Jesus. Number 3. Ladies and gentlemen, you also have to be loyal. What did I say?
Loyal.
I said a good father, a good man. Number 1 must be a leader. Number 2 must be what? A laborer. And number 3 must be loyal. That is very much needed. Many of us, if there's one area we are flunking the test, we are not loyal in our relationship. Can you handle the truth? Believe it or not, almost 25% of men in relationship cheat. Can you handle the truth? The statistic shows that is 54% more than women that cheat. That means women cheat too. Mm-hmm. They don't make this kind of church no more. So one of the things that you and I need to learn, brothers, I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching to my own self. When I say be a leader, it's not just for you, it's for me too. When I say be a laborer, I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching to you. One area that we need to improve on is loyalty. Will you believe the Bible say? I didn't write this book. God ordered our steps. He said, if you just look at a woman lustfully, you're already an adulterer. Can you handle the truth? So God expects us to be loyal. Don't take that lightly. The reason sometimes why God holds back in his blessings is because of disloyalty. So I'm not trying to give the women a free pass, but today is Father's Day. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. And you know what? Many times we think, let me say this, and I promise I'll let you go. There's something called 80-20 rule. You ever heard that? Let me explain it in relationship. Even in ministry, it applies. The problem, you got a pastor that reads. See, 80-20 rules in church ministry means people come, but 80% are doing nothing. Only 20% carry all the burdens. That's ministry. In relationship, what you will often find is, brothers, the woman you choose to be your wife, your girlfriend, will be good to you 80%. Can you handle the truth? That gives the devil 20% to tempt you and to fill in the blank. And when you try to fill in the blank, the person that you're looking at to fill in the blank, he stinks too. Ladies and gentlemen, the problem is that why will you leave? I'm not a scientist, but I have common sense. Why will you leave 80% blessing to hold on to 20%? And many people will leave their family, they will leave their church to go after 20% that's just there to fill in the blank. That's the agent of the devil that the devil plants in your life. You know, the Bible says he comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. So, brothers, watch out for that. You all still love me? No, you know, the Americans will say the grass is greener on the other side. Well, let me give you the African version of it. The grass is greener where you water the ground. You see? So ask yourself the question, where are you watering the ground? Amen. Quick review. What's the first thing? Be a leader. What's the second thing? Be a laborer. What's the third thing? Be loyal. The fourth thing is be a learner. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, he said, consider your woman, your wife, as a weaker vessel. I didn't write that. He said, deal with him with understanding according to knowledge. You got to learn something. You got, like, this woman of God is my wife. I have to learn what she likes. I have to learn from her what she don't like. You have to be a learner. You know why that's important? So that your prayers will not be hindered.
Yes, sir.
Quickly, number five. I promise. You also, fathers, don't just be birthing baby. You have to be a lover. You're not in an industry just making babies. Love God with all your heart. Love the mother of your children. Amen. Love your own self. Love your children. You know how you know if somebody really loves? Check a few things. Number one, they are giving. You cannot love anybody unless you're a giver. Amen. God said it. He gave his only begotten son. The Bible says God, Jesus loved his church that he gave. It's all about giving. When was the last time you give to your woman? Mm-hmm. Don't look at your neighbor now. Today is kind of... You ought to be a giver. Give. You know one thing you need to learn to give? Money.
Amen.
You know why I said money? Because now, if I say I'm just going to buy Sister girl address. I'm going to go the wrong size. I'm keeping it real today. If I say I'm going to buy a jewelry, can I be helpful to you, man? I don't care what jewelry you buy. It's not what she really wants. She will smile and say, thank you. She lying. Because women are smart. They think high. They're not cheap either. That's why what I'm doing today, I'm taking all my brothers through workshop. By the way, work, man, that's what men do. Shop is what women do. Workshop. The gospel according to Joshua Dara. So give money. Amen. That's why you have to work. Give, give. Blow her mind. That if any man come near, she will close her eye and walk like that. And the church say amen.
Amen.
Everybody stand to your feet. Another way you love people is to spend time together. I want us to pray for all of our families. Is that all right? Please hold somebody's hand. I know sometimes I'll be joking. Sometimes I'll be a clown. But if you pay close attention, there's some serious principles that I'm trying to teach you. We talk about being a leader, being a laborer, being loyal. By the way, you ladies, you have to help us in that area. Many men are disloyal because you make them so. You're too busy raising children that you neglect your man. Now he has to find help. And that 20%, can you handle the truth? Some men, you're too busy working that God is trying to salvage our families, but we're tearing it apart. So there's work on both sides of the aisle. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Zion Hill Church family. To hear this sermon in its entirety or hear other sermons, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's zionhill.com, where faith finds its home and every soul is welcomed with open arms. Under the leadership of Pastor Joshua Jordera on the Hill in Pineville, Louisiana. If you're ever in the area, come and see what's going on at Zion Hill Church Family.
We just honor you, Yahweh, this morning. You said if you be lifted up, you would draw all men. So we lift you now, Yahweh. And we worship you, Yahweh. Yahweh, 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 yeah. We bow down and worship Yahweh. We Yahweh. Everybody sing. Say, we bow down. Sanctuary and lift it right where you are. Say, we bow down.
We pray that our